I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for March 16th, 2020 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Mr. McCann is excused.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
Six members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. We welcome our guest, Marcus, here tonight. You're on the agenda, so good for you. We are, this is about a normal attendance for a city council meeting unless there's something that is unusual. This is not COVID-19 keeping people away. This is boredom keeping people away, I think. But we're glad you're here. And if you've got any questions, let me know as we go through the meeting by raising your hand. We're going to ask you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Hanem.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. I do have one I would like to add as 4A, a COVID-19 update from Fire Chief Ram and from our Chief Snore, if he's got anything to add to it, or from our Safety Director, Mr. Aller. He and I participated in a second conference call in 2 days with Lucas County about the state of emergency that's been declared. We'll talk about that more at 4A. That's all I have. Mrs. Westphal.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to hear the COVID report, and then after we've heard that, if we've got additional questions, we may want to schedule a safety committee meeting.
Let's just add, down under committee reports, let's just add a B down there that says schedule safety committee.
Thank you.
If you choose not to, then you just don't have to.
Perfect.
So that'll be 4A10B, excuse me. Other members of City Council.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Stowe.
I request to add an update on the Strongest Town Contest.
We'll make that agenda item 12, Strong Town Contest Update. Strongest Town, excuse me. Any additional items from members of City Council?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanem.
I'd like to have a discussion of adding video capability by our April 6th meeting.
We could discuss this. We did discuss it. I discussed it with Mr. Richardson before you got here. We have some new information, but let's put it on the agenda. Actually, this is committee business. Let's put it on there as 10C. Streaming council meetings. And we do have a potential quicker path to that now. Any additional items from members of City Council? How about staff? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last regular meeting on March 2nd. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the City of Sylvania minutes of the meeting of Sylvania City Council of March 2nd, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from our March 2nd, 2020 meeting as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. We're up to added agenda item 4A. Chief, come on up. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. I'm sure you're participating in a lot of conference calls and the like as well.
Well, yes, sir. I took the liberty to kill some trees today. I'm here tonight to give you, to give everybody just kind of an update on where I'm at, where the department's at, what's going on with the county. As you know, I sit on the Ohio Fire Chiefs Board for the state of Ohio also, so I am the Northwest District Director, so I sit in on all the meetings for state fire chiefs. And I've just got a couple handouts of some information, some stuff that I've been kind of and I'm sure Kevin and the mayor probably get some of these, but I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of this kind of the stuff that I'm keeping track of. One of the things is actually something we're in and out on our runs. That would be the last thing that I'm showing you. It's basically asking people to only call if they need us. Again, on the national news again tonight, they're asking people to stay out of the emergency rooms because the person sitting next to you may have the virus and you may not have it. So we're kind of asking people the same thing. If they're sick, we'll come and help you, but please make it be something that you're really sick with. So, because really, right now, my biggest worry is our people. We got to have them to take care of people. So, sorry about that. I should have them all separated. And that's what we're handing out.
Thank you.
I got one. You're good, all right. Thanks, Chief.
Okay, I did miss the meeting this evening of Lucas County, but I've been on all the other meetings. Just to kind of give you a brief overview, I am the liaison through the Emergency Operations Center at Lucas County. I am Sylvania Township's liaison. I'm their center point person, so if anything comes out of there, it comes from the township, but it goes through me. I'm also the second person in charge of Fire EMS, the liaison down there behind the civil fire chief. So,
Council should know Mr. Aller is serving as our liaison.
Awesome, okay.
He is on the Public Information Committee A group. He is the only non-city, non-Lucas County representative on that group. So, it's already congratulated him earlier. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sure, I'm very pleased.
Yeah, thanks for serving that capacity. I mean, it's not like all of our jobs just stopped. We're still doing our normal stuff. But I just kind of want to give you an update. Our crews are doing okay. We've been fortunate so far. We really haven't. We've had a lot of sick people. I'll say we've had several people with temperatures of over 105 over the last few days. However, right now there's a lot of other microviruses that are out there. So, fortunately, we haven't had anybody get tested. We did have one crew took in a young child that had 105 and was really, really sick. Only one person of our people got sick, but they said it was the influenza A. And they weren't really going to test our whole crew until more than one person showed signs and symptoms. And to this point, only one person has. So, really, like I said, as I was walking around, my biggest fear or the thing that's going to really hurt us is if we end up having to isolate or put a whole crew under isolation. That's gonna put a big hurt on us. However, like I said, the fire chiefs have been meeting. If that is to happen, we are going to open up the AVL or the automatic dispatch, so that the closest vehicle, whether it's a Toledo Fire, a Savannah Fire, a Springfield Fire, will handle the incidents. Lucas County Fire Chiefs, we talk just about every single day. So we're prepared. I just wanted to let everybody know we are prepared. But then again, when things happen, you hope you're prepared. But I believe we are. We got great people working for us. So,
your plan would be if you have one sick person in a crew that you'll isolate the entire?
No. That would only happen if, so what happens, like the other day when this gentleman called and said he was ill, my first call is to the health department. And the health department guides us and tells us what we will be doing. If he calls me back and says the whole crew must be isolated, then that's what we will have to do. We will have to find a place to isolate them. And I would assume, I'm not sure how Chief Short is, but I've been talking with Chief Long. We work side by side, so if they're in the same room with us and we all get infected, there's not going to be a better place for all of them to be than at one of the firehouses. I mean, we have places for them to sleep, we have, you know, laundry, we have all that. I'm hoping it doesn't get to that. However, we're prepared for it. We would move vehicles around and definitely count on some help from others that we give help to every day too, so. Yeah, everything comes off the health department. If Eric calls and says, I mean, all five people will stay somewhere, then that's what we're going to do.
Chief, we heard on the conference call tonight that they confirmed that the drive-through testing center is going to open up tomorrow. It's going to be at Toledo Botanical Garden.
Yes.
And first responders get priority to that. Will that change? That should change if you have people exposed to the, or possibly exposed. Once they're tested, if they're negative, I think they can go back on duty.
Right, yeah.
That's a big difference. That goes from 14 days to maybe 3 days.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And like I said, that's a concern when we have X amount of people, and if we're going to close and we take five, six people out of the rotation, then we already have people out that are already sick, and we have people out having babies. And so once you start taking five, six, eight people off of a shift that only has 18 people on it, It's a real problem. I'm concerned about it, but I think we're in a good position to handle it, so. Well, that's all I had. I know Mrs. Westfall said maybe ask questions after, but the paperwork I gave you, the one was from Lucas County. That's the situation report we get every day. The other one's from the state EOC. That also is a situation report that we get every day. And I also get an update every day from the Ohio Fire Chiefs. So I'm getting updates at least from three different places every day. So if anyone has, I am certainly not the expert on COVID. I will stand up here and say that. I stay on the CDC site. But, you know, we're working with the health department. Like I said, I'm downtown quite a bit. So if I hear anything or any of you hear anything, please don't hesitate to call me.
Chief, just one thing, and I'm sure I speak for everybody else here, that we appreciate the dedication that you and your teams of firefighters are putting forward. You know, a tough job on any given day, but this is obviously going above and beyond the call of duty. So I just wanted to express my thank you for that. And I know you've had some pretty long days along with a lot of other people around here, so thank you for that.
Like I said earlier, I signed up for it. I love what I'm doing. I love where I'm doing it at. There are definitely some days when I wouldn't mind saying that, just like some of the people that are affected. Anything else, sir?
No, any other questions for the chief?
I'll stay around. All right.
Chief, sorry not to put you on the hot seat, but you might want to give a little update about your personnel issues and how you're handling this as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've been working with primarily the Savannah Township Police Department. We met with them last week and discussed, you know, that for us, that, you know, we're not going to have a lot of direct contact with patients. The only time you would be if there was some type of a arrest situation or some type of conflict where we have to go hands-on with the person. We're really trying to avoid that at all costs. Not something we typically deal with on a day-to-day basis anyway. Fortunately, we do have quite a bit of what we call PPE, personal protective equipment gear. A lot of it was left over from the post 9/11 planning and grant work. So all the officers have individual respirators that they can use if they do come in contact with a patient, similar to what the fire department would do if they actually had to transport a person who was highly suspect of being exposed to the virus. In addition to that, we've updated our 12-hour work schedule. So if for some reason we were to lose, let's say, 10 of our personnel, our sworn personnel, we would go to a 12-hour work schedule where it would be all the remaining officers would be broken up into four groups. One group would work the first 12 hours of the day, the next group would come in to work the second 12, then another group would, two sets would work the next day. So basically, we'd be a 12 on, 24 off until we would either get additional manpower back in service or until we're assisted by other agencies. As far as the dispatch center, as everyone knows, we only have six dispatchers here in the city. We've already worked out a plan with Savannah Township to combine our forces and switch to one channel for the Savannah community to operate for police operations during that time, if that were to happen. Right now, we're not experiencing any sick time by anybody in the communications or the road patrol that's related to any flu-like symptoms or anything like that. So I think we're in good shape at this point. The message we are sending out to the public, we're trying to maintain all this, our services as we normally would on a day-to-day basis. I think that's important to provide those services to the community while being smart about our exposure to any potential health issues. We are trying to encourage some calls for service to be handled over the phone at all possible, but by and large, we're just maintaining our regular daily operations and, you know, being mindful of sanitizing the workplace as much as possible.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for Chief Snore?
Yeah, just to echo similar remarks as Mr. Fry shared with Chief Ram, I'd like to extend our thanks to you, Chief Schnorr, for all of your work. Obviously, just listening to your comments, it's clear that you've been working around the clock to put in place the plans that will allow us to respond efficiently to all of the needs of our community, and we would be lost without your dedication, your commitment, and the work of your team. So thank you so very much for what you do.
I did have one question, Chief. Given the comment that the mayor said about the testing being available to Botanical Gardens, were you anticipating putting our officers through that testing or not?
I wasn't part of the call. Last I know, the only indication for a test is if you're experiencing some symptoms. Now, the threshold is probably a little lower for the officers if they have a fever or any type of cough. As a precaution, they want the testing to happen sooner than later, but unless there's symptoms, as far as last time, you know, I wasn't part of the call, but unless there's symptoms, we would just follow the regular operator.
That's what I figured you were going to say. I just wanted to make sure that was still the status of where we stood. So.
And we're not aware of how many tests they're going to have
right.
or anything, but first responders are a priority at that test site.
Sure.
And you cannot, as an individual, go there and get a test. You must have a doctor's order and an order number to go there.
Oh,
Toledo's
okay.
apparently going to station police officers there to turn away anybody else that does not have a certified doctor's order to be there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
That brings up a good point. Something we're being mindful of. You know, we have any issues at the hospitals or any of our nursing care. Mm-hmm. So far, we haven't had any conflicts with that, but we're being mindful of that as, you know, we move forward into the duration of this.
I think things will get busier before they get less busy.
Mm-hmm. Have we had any conversations with, I seem to recall that Flower discontinued the ICU beds. Have we had any conversations with them about any changes in that regard?
Well, as far as COVID-19 patients, they might be screened at the RER, but all of those patients are being transferred to the department.
For now, that's. But if they get stressed there, then they will spread out, and I bet you they reopen these beds if they need to.
Right, that's why
it's predicted that there'll be a shortage. That's what flattening the curve is all about.
I understand.
And right now, the chief's right. We've been told that they're going to try to have all the patients that are confirmed or suspected with the virus to be at Bay Park Hospital.
Okay.
I don't know how many beds they have here. That can't absorb a lot. So. All right, Chief, thank you. Mr. Aller, I'm going to call upon you. Mr. Aller is our safety director. He is our designated liaison to the County Emergency Operations Center. They have opened the Lucas County Operations Center as of last Friday. He and I have both been participating in conference calls. There was another one tonight with 120 people on it. Chief, you're one of your trustees was on the call. I heard him say his name. Neil Mahoney was there, but I didn't hear 120 names. There are a lot more there. And you can't see anybody. You can only hear what people announce that they're coming on board. Kevin, I think maybe a couple of minutes about the structure of the Emergency Operations Center and how we are coordinating city operations with it and the latest developments from tonight's conference call about city facilities and county facilities being orchestrated to close to the public in a couple of days.
Yeah, the emergency operations center is set up under basically three groups, if you will. Law enforcement, fire and rescue, and then alcohol administrator, or public information. Each of those three groups has designated liaisons in all of the departments and areas outside within Lucas County. There are also some agencies that are just neighbors that are also participating in those conversations. But all of those liaisons take, you know, will report to, as Chief Ram noted, he'll relay all of his information and updates and from the community through their designated liaison to the EOC as a whole. And then everybody, that way, all of the information within all of the jurisdictions is being collected and channeled. Hopefully be able to limit any of the problems that the rumor mills can cause. I think so far that's been handled really well. I think people for the most part have stayed pretty calm through most of this. Not 100%, but for the most part. And so I think it's worked really well. They just, as Mayor indicated, they just created a couple of different groups that will increase the number of conference calls that are being done to make sure that everybody's starting the day off properly. The group that the mayor mentioned that I've been assigned to is, we'll have daily conference calls at 7 o'clock in the morning, afternoon meetings at 2:30, and then in all likelihood there will be evening conference calls to follow up with.
Kevin, you need to know I did not volunteer you for that. Your reputation preceded you, and you are the only non-Toledo or Lucas County employee on the group.
It's
headed by Gretchen DeBacher of the Toledo Mayor's Office.
Yeah, it was.
You cannot spend all your time on conference calls.
There's plenty of tests. Chief Frank mentioned we have our normal jobs. The other thing that the mayor referred to is that effective Wednesday, this is not official because the county commissioners do have to formally approve it. But in tonight's conference call, they mentioned that basically lobbies and offices, city and county lobbies and offices would be closed to the general public. It is our anticipation, Mayor and I have had several talks, and it's always been our intention to stay consistent with what everybody else is doing. We didn't want to be out in front of it and perhaps force other people's hands or do something before the health official said it should be done. But, you know, if this is the way that it proceeds, we will, in all likelihood, follow suit and do the same with our staff. There are some personnel policies and that kind of stuff that the county city are doing that we probably want to follow those. We have some of those similar programs in place already, and we'll probably just stick with our existing policies. But it is a concern for our staff on people coming into the building that has been raised. And so far we have kept the building open. But I believe Wednesday would be a good time to follow suit and join what everybody else is going to be doing. So we'll talk more on that. We're not there yet. I just came up tonight at 6:30, but that is a likely process. So
we did face it earlier in the day. A few of our employees did not like the face-to-face contact of people coming into a couple of city hall offices. And we tried to make some accommodations to make them more comfortable. But it sounds like the county's going to force our hand forward now. We're trying to keep things as normal as usual and certainly keep all city functions operational. That's the number one priority. Some of our services are vital. Police services, obviously, are vital. Utility services are vital. So we will concentrate on business as much as usual as we can. If you go up to the front door at City Hall right now, you'll see a big post that says essential visits only. The door was not locked until 4:30 today, normal schedule. We've posted phone numbers for the tax office, the utility office, the service department, and the mayor's office on the door, so they don't have to go through the 885 tree number to figure out what to do. Somebody comes to the door, and I actually greeted one of those people. He was coming in with a tax return day today, and he was reading it, trying to figure out what to do with it. I talked to him, and then he was wearing gloves and all bundled up. He did not want to come in. So I accepted the tax return from him and delivered it to the tax office for him. However, if you read what's on the door, all payments, all tax returns, all communications can go in the drop box that's to the left of the front door of City Hall, not just utility payments now. And we're asking people not to come in if they didn't have to, and that'll change on Wednesday, more than likely. All right. Any questions for Kevin? Thank you. Is council comfortable moving along in our agenda? Okay, we're going to move on to the published agenda, item number 5. This is an annual piece of legislation, but it's good for 3 years this time, I see, Mr. Fry?
Yes, sir. So this obviously isn't... this is about a party. so this is a little different
situation. We'll all be celebrating.
I certainly expect that and hope that that's the case. So we worked together, as many of you will recall, to put on the fireworks display between the township and the city and Sage Yard. Sage Yard put out a request for proposals. We received a couple of responses back. Zambelli, which was the existing supplier the past 3 years, and another one, after evaluating the various offers, it was the consensus between the three organizations that we go ahead and move forward with the Zambelli fireworks offer for that's in front of you as an ordinance today. And with your permission, Mayor, I'd like to start off. I'd introduce ordinance number 15-2020, authorizing all members of council having previously received copies. I will read by title only. Authorizing an agreement with Zambelli Fireworks Manufacturing Company for the Independence Day celebrations on July 3rd, 2020, July 3rd, 2021, and July 3, 2022 at Centennial Terrace in the Quarry. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to sign an agreement for the fireworks display, which will cost $35,000. Authorizing a 50% deposit payment for each year's fireworks display due in February of each calendar year, which will be shared by the city, Sylvania Township, Coca-Cola Corporation, the Sylvania Joint Area Recreation District, and area businesses, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 15-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. How does this price compare, Mr. Fry, to the price in recent years?
We signed a three-year agreement 3 years ago, and it was for $30,300. So this is a little bit more. We had an offer at a similar price range, but the thought process was this is about another 20 or 30% additional fireworks, so we decided to go with a larger display this time.
In the past, there's been substantial savings by doing these on July 3rd rather than July 4th. I don't know whether that came up in your conversations or not.
It didn't, but based upon past conversations that we've had in regards to that, the premium would be somewhere on the order of 50% higher if we did it on the 4th.
That's what I told, that they oftentimes come to Sylvania, do it on the 3rd, and then they go to downtown Toledo and present the same show for more money. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Fry before we move for final passage? Motion, Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 15-2020.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 15-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 15-2020 is approved. I just had a thought, Mr. Fry. And you would hope that by 4th of July, we'll be able to congregate in groups larger than 10, but it's possible we won't be able to. We might have to think about what we're doing with that, but fireworks can be seen from a great distance, so.
Yeah, the biggest challenge, assuming we still have a 6-foot issue, will be trying to get 20 or 30,000 people each 6 foot away from each other and still be able to see the fireworks, because there's an awful lot of people. But certainly, I certainly hope that that's not going to be an issue by the 3rd of July.
I do, too. Thank you.
Sure.
Moving on to agenda item 6, you have a report from the service director in here about the 2020 sidewalk replacement program. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have requested this from companies in the area for our 2020 sidewalk program. We only received one proposal from Scott's Quality Concrete here in Sylvania. Their proposal was in about $28,635. As you know, this program replaces sidewalks that have been damaged primarily by street tree roots. A couple locations may be due to manholes or valve boxes or something like that. Most locations are due to tree roots. We had $20,000 budgeted in the capital improvement fund, the 401 fund. And we'll utilize that $20,000, and then we'll utilize the 501, the tree removal replacement assessment for the remaining $8,635. So that's the split in the funds that you see in that last paragraph. We're very familiar with Scott's, and we're recommending approval of the contract in the amount of $28,635 with Scott's.
From a unit price standpoint, is it a good enough price? When you don't have a competing price, it's sometimes hard to know.
It's very close to what we actually paid last year. Our quantity is up this year because we had last year we hit it a little harder last year with quantity, and then this year we did a couple of walking routes and make sure we were getting the proper.
All right, I am familiar, and some of you may have seen it already. Some trees have been removed on Vicksburg Drive that pumped up the sidewalk about a foot. It was really an unsafe situation. So this what tree funds in this is appropriate. They've taken the trees out in preparation, but left the sidewalk, but the sidewalk's going to go down about a foot when they replace it. So these are important funds. That was a dangerous situation there. All right. Questions for Mr. Aller? If not, Mr. Fry, Streets Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 16-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Scott's Quality Concrete and awarding the contract for the 2020 sidewalk replacement program to same, authorizing the expenditure for the improvements in the amount of $28,635. Appropriating funds, therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 16-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Scott's Concrete, I believe, is the concrete company that got that sidewalk out on Centennial Road done for us on a timely basis last summer. Okay. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 16-2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 16-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 16-2020 is approved. Moving to agenda item 7. You have proposed ordinance 17-2020 in your packets. This is an annual ordinance to update our codified ordinances through the previous year. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This, as the mayor indicated, this is the annual ordinance that just, actually this year, they were all changes that were made to the Ohio Revised Code. So it's just to bring our code sections up to date with what the Ohio Revised Code provides. So, and we would recommend its approval.
Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 17-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. an ordinance to approve, adopt, and enact current replacement pages to the codified ordinances, to repeal ordinances in conflict therewith, to publish the enactment of new matter, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 17-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 17-2020.
Mr. Mayor, just clarification. How, they also update all of this. Does Drain update our online presence?
They do, yes.
Because that's the only code I use.
We started doing that a few years ago, and yes, this includes that.
And it is Drain, and that's part of this, that's part of what we pay them for. Thank you. Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 17-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 17-2020 is approved. Agenda item 8 is the transfer of a D5 Spiritus liquor license. This is to change from the 5th Street Pub at 5577 Monroe Street to the new occupant of that restaurant location, Giorgio's Grill. Chief, any issues?
Mr. Mayor, I was able to last week do routine local checks on the applicants, and I see no reason to request a hearing this time.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the chief? This seems pretty straightforward.
I just have one quick question. The D6 sale of intoxicating liquor on Sunday between the hours of 10 a.m. and midnight, is that a change as well?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I'm reading it as it's a transfer of both of those.
Okay.
Mrs. Westfall, I think they may just be reserving that future right, because I tried to go there on a Sunday and they weren't open. So.
Well, they're not open tonight either.
We need a motion not to request a local hearing. Mrs. Westfall.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we do not request a local hearing for the transfer of this D5 spirituous liquor permit, and as well as for the D6 sale of intoxicating liquor on Sunday between the hours of 10 a.m. and midnight for from Bellwether 5th Street Pub to Giorgio's Grill.
Second.
Been moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this, these two liquor license transfers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 9 is a good step for our Sylvania community. This is to establish our first joint economic development district with Sylvania Township. It has been precipitated with the cooperation of Sylvania Township and is for the new construction and the existing facility on Holland Sylvania Road at the Oak Leaf complex. Mr. Sanford and Mrs. Brining have been our point on these. This is a precedent setting, not a solution, but a precedent setting JED formation. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And as the mayor said, Leslie and I have been meeting. In fact, Jim Holman used to, this was part of the team. We've been talking specifically about JEDs for at least a year. And this particular JED was brought to us, was instigated by the township, in that they were at a tax abatement or a tax issue with the property at Oakland, and came to us and thought it was a good place to start, so that they were very interested. And after a series of meetings, we came with what we have today, and Leslie can probably go over some of the particulars you're answering. We can both answer questions. So this was one of many potential areas that we talked about. And in this one, the info we got from the township is they expect to payroll of about 2.8 million, and if you figure in the 1.5% income tax, that works out to a little over $42,000. there's a 2% collection fee that the city would collect, as our finance office, tax office would collect the income tax, and then 10% is set aside of the collection for the maintenance fund for the jet area, and that's all the detail in the agreement. And then that would leave us with $37,864, and that is split 50-50 with the township between the city and the township. And as the mayor said, it's pretty historic to have a jet. We've been talking about it, something like
decades,
for a long time. And then as we got into the annexation discussion, the township government was more interested in pursuing the jet conversations, and we're continuing to do that.
This is a wonderful development to have a jet proposed that I believe the township is in favor of. Both the city and the township will benefit from it. It will collect those income taxes here in the Sylvania community instead of having them go back to where the employees live, possibly in Toledo or Maumee or another place to pay their taxes, or possibly not paying income taxes if they don't live in an incorporated area. This is a small dollar amount. It is not, does not meet our goals that we've discussed before for establishing a broader, better JED with the township, but it does set the precedent that a JED is possible. We've been on the brink of this several times over my administration, and this time it feels like it's really going to happen, and it is a very positive development. It is a step. It is not an end.
And that's what it comes to with the resolution, and then we understand that the township will be also voting on this tomorrow at their meeting.
Leslie, you want to just review the process here?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hanum. So as Bill mentioned, we are working on our resolution of intent today. The township is considering theirs tomorrow. The petition has been filed, and all the contract documents have all been filed with the clerk. We then have to publish the notice at least once prior to a public hearing date. So, and actually, we probably need to do that as well tonight, just to give the clerk time to get that published. We publish it, and the township publishes it. We have separate public hearings, which we've worked on the schedule together so that our processes can kind of run in tandem. And I believe the township will be setting their public hearing for May 5th, and we are proposing that we set ours for May 4th. And then after the public hearing, then that's when I will have the ordinance for you to consider to actually establish the JED and authorize the contract. And then once that is all done, then the JED board is populated. The city and township each appoint one representative, then there's a member that represents the business owners and a member that represents the employees. And then those four board members select one additional board member, so that there will be a five-person board.
So I had a few questions.
Sure.
I need to understand a little better the logistics.
Yes.
So I'm looking at the Sylvania Township, the first, after the resolution, the first few pages. Is that the economic development plan that we will have to consider?
That is the Sylvania, the JED statute requires that an economic development plan for the JED area be adopted.
Right.
So Sylvania Township, because the property is in the township, Sylvania Township drafted that. That's the economic development plan specifically for that territory.
Okay.
And this is only for the
Oakleaf
mm-hmm. property. It does not include any other property.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Give you to the
right.
punch, Mayor.
Yeah.
Because it says one, so
right.
I'm assuming if there's JED one, there's going to hopefully be JED two.
We're
right?
optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah, in our discussion, this was JED number one.
Mm-hmm.
All the other properties that we're looking at, and that plan and everything would be different, but they're all going to be incorporated in JED number two.
Okay.
Right.
And then there was also some comments in here about the city selling, providing water and sewer to this JED 1?
That is not in our water district. It is in our sewer district.
Okay.
So If that is in there, there were a couple places that were just not edited appropriately.
Okay.
We'll make that correction.
Bottom of page three.
Okay.
Of the, that's why I was curious, because I was thinking, I don't know that that's in our water district.
No, it's not.
Okay, that's fine.
Our main water supply pipeline does run right through their front yard.
I know it does. That's why I was asking.
It's a really big pipe under high pressure.
I figured that that would be a little bit of a challenge to handle.
We've been asked in the past, people have asked to tap into that, and no, you can't tap into it.
Right. Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Interesting. It is a 43615 zip code as well. Toledo zip code. Again, this is, as you heard Mrs. Brining say, this is just declaring our intent to enter into the agreement. You'll get an ordinance later on to actually form the JED. I say very clearly, this is a win for our community, both the city and the township and all of our residents. This is something that we've hoped for decades. And this is a incremental step forward, and we're very pleased by it.
One thing I would just, I don't know if it's possible that we could do this or not, but if it would be helpful for me if we could, and that's to, once we get this all established and we start collecting the tax revenues, whether we can take some sort of a census on how many of these people were already paying City of Sylvania income taxes, mm-hmm. just to get a feel for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the 38 grand is then split 50-50. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming some of those individuals probably already live in the city of Sylvania.
So we tried to do that with school district properties, but we've not been able to do it with this one.
So it's
but
hard.
I think that's a very good idea.
So yeah, it'd be nice to be able to isolate or get a sense of, at least initially, what it looks like.
I'm not sure if because this is part of their addition, but what we did with the schools, we got an employee list.
Right.
And we can probably get that from the hopefully.
Yeah, I assume there's going to obviously be fluidity associated with the employees, but right. just, even building, if we just had a feel for it.
They're building a new facility. Their list
right.
is growing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Thank you, Mayor.
Other questions? All right, Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution number 11-2020, all members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania declaring its intent to enter into an agreement with the Board of Trustees of Sylvania Township to create a joint economic development district located in a portion of the unincorporated area of Sylvania Township, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 11-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 11-2020 as an emergency measure.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded that resolution 11-2020 be approved as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 11-2020 is approved. Now, at the recommendation of the law director, it's recommended that we set a public hearing date for, I believe, Monday, May 4th, probably at 7 o'clock, prior to 7 o'clock enough.
I think that would be great.
Mr. Hanum, is that satisfactory to you?
Yes.
Would you like to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move we establish a public hearing on proposed Sylvania JED 1 on May 4th at 7 a.m. here in Council Chambers.
7 p.m.
7 p.m., sorry. 7 p.m. here in Council Chambers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to establish a public hearing and to emphasize the date as Monday, May 4th at 7 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is so ordered to advertise that public hearing. Thank you all. Moving to page 2 of our approved agenda, we are up to committee reports. I think probably first, Mr. Richardson, if you want to make a report of your committee meeting, you have a lot of actions to take as part of it, but why don't you make your committee report?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Employee and Community Relations Committee met on March 3rd. We had a couple things to discuss. The first thing was this proposed ordinance number 7, as it pertains to the leave of absence policy for city employees when it comes to election days. So we, the committee felt that we were comfortable with this the way it is, particularly because there's this provision in the back in the last paragraph that says the employee supervisor reserves the right to reject the request based on operational need. So that kind of covers our basis that, you know, if we have extra hands that can help, that's great. And if we decide we can't, then we won't. So we were all good there. And then the other reason we met was to fill an opening on both the Board of Zoning and Appeals and the Sage Art Board. So we interviewed two candidates for each. It turns out that the person that we thought would be the best fit for the Sage Art Board was currently on the BZA. So he moved from the BZA to Sage Art, opening up now two spots on BZA. So both the candidates that interviewed for that, we were able to put into there and bring in some new people into the city.
All right.
That's what we did. The meeting was about an hour and a half and adjourned at 6:30. I can go ahead with our ordinances if there's any other questions, or
I would like you to read A1, but I'd like Mrs. Capellini to read A2, and we'll probably have Patrick read 3, A4, and Mrs. Capellini to read A4 then. That's all right. We'll just split it up a little bit.
What up? All good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 7, 2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Revising the administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city and the codified ordinance thereof by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinances Section 139.07, Leaves of Absence, to create a precinct election official leave program, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 7, 2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 7, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 7, 2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 7, 2020 is approved. This is an important piece of legislation. Obviously, they were having a lot of trouble getting poll workers to come out, especially senior citizens to come out and be poll workers tomorrow. I'm sure you all know the governor's proposed delaying tomorrow's election.
He lost.
The Franklin County judge ruled against him?
Yeah.
So we are having an election tomorrow, or is he appealing it?
The judge has denied the request.
Good grief. Okay. If there was time, I'm sure he'd appeal it up the way, but it's kind of short notice.
Well, you know, lawyers don't sleep much.
You shouldn't invite comments like that. Well, we all stay tuned. I hope we have enough poll workers to do it tomorrow. They were training, I think I heard, training an additional 1,500 poll workers over the weekend to try and man the election, and okay, we'll see. Let's move on to agenda item 10A2. This is proposed resolution 8, 2020, appointing Marcus Hansen to the Board of Trustees for Sage Art. This is Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution 8-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Appointing Marcus Hansen to the Board of Trustees of Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District, Sage Art, for a term expiring December 31st, 2021, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 8-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to move final passage of Resolution Number 8-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution Number 8-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 8-2020 is approved. Mr. Hanam, you're also on that committee.
Sure.
Would you please read A3?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Resolution Number 9-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only, appointing Stephen Risher to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term expiring December 31, 2020, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 9-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of Resolution Number 9-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 9-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 9, did I let you vote? I'm sorry.
9-2020, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Did I let you vote?
We're on final.
We're on final. Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 9-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 9-2020 is approved. Now we're up to Agenda Item A10A4. Mr. Richardson, I'm back to you as chairman of the committee to read this last one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 10-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, appointing Danny Royer to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a term expiring December 31, 2020, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that Resolution Number 10-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Resolution Number 10-2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 10-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 10-2020 is approved. Mr. Hanson, congratulations. I have a copy of the resolution, if you would like to have it, right here. Why don't we pass it around the table to him? We appreciate your attendance and your willingness to serve. I believe you've served on our Board of Zoning Appeals until now, and now you're moving on to Sagard. That is an extremely important board in town. I've been around for its entire life, and it has, was formed with the city and the schools and the township, and has done wonderful work in our community. Lots of board members have put in lots of time, very successfully, to build the facilities and the programs we have, and I'm sure that you're going to carry on that tradition.
That's good to hear. We'll go forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are up to added Agenda Item 10B, to possibly schedule a safety committee meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have had a couple of council members reach out to me and request that we schedule a safety committee meeting, and after listening to the reports tonight, which were very helpful, I think it's very wise to proceed. I think the purpose from both of these council members' perspective was that this is a very fluid situation that's changing very rapidly, and as elected officials of our community, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are aware and responding in an appropriate way, that we're purposeful in our thought process, and that we're taking every step that we can to ensure the safety of our citizens. So from that viewpoint, I do think we'd like to proceed with scheduling that safety committee meeting. We know that we need at least 24 hours. We had originally had some conversation around doing it on Wednesday, but in light of the fact that we're here, I think we could go even to Thursday morning, so perhaps a Thursday morning 8 a.m. meeting, if that works for safety committee members and/or other council members. I don't know if this meeting will be a 10-minute meeting or an hour and 10 minutes. I stole that line from a council member who I was speaking with on it. But I do think just to gather us together would be helpful. So safety committee is myself, Mr. Fry, Mr. McCann, and Ms. Dow.
Are there any issues that city council members of the safety committee want the administration to prepare for? It's just to get a little more in-depth report of what's going on right now?
For me, Mayor, it would just be a little more in-depth.
Certainly.
So, because there is so many things going on so fast.
And there will be new, by Thursday, there's going to be new stuff, I guarantee.
And we may end up setting another one for the week after, just to keep track of things.
Chief, does that work in Chief Ram and Chief Snore? Does that work for you guys? Normally, I wouldn't invite you, Chief Ram, but you're looking at your book and.
I'm available at 8 a.m. on Thursday.
You are scheduled to be at my staff meeting at 9 a.m.
9:30.
Or 9:30. It starts at 9, but 9:30 is good. We would be honored. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things I'd be interested in hearing about is staffing issues and just preparation for exigent circumstances.
We have been discussing it.
One thing that I was at in a prior meeting this evening at the Lucas County Board of DD, and we were actually given a letter from from Dave Yost, the Attorney General, about the possibility in emergency circumstances like this to hold meetings.
I have also
via
seen
phone.
That.
Have you seen that, Mayor?
Yep.
So it may not even necessarily need to be a physical meeting. We could do a conference call for this purpose, even though it's a public meeting.
Team McCulloch is choosing to do that on Wednesday afternoon for their executive committee meeting. More than 10 people, and they decided to do it.
So I'm not, for me, this is more informational. It doesn't require, in my mind, to be face-to-face. I don't know what other members of the committee or council would think in regards to that, but just something.
I think that might be.
Conference call line, that would be it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was possible until, you know, 5:30 today.
How does that work for members of the public who would want to attend?
I think, and I again just saw the letter from the Attorney General today. It doesn't dispense with any reporting. I think what we could possibly do is have speakerphone here and have the conference call be recorded, and minutes still have to be taken for the meeting as well. And if they wanted to attend, they could.
They could attend here and listen on a speakerphone.
Right, because if, and it also.
No. They can attend here.
Yes.
Members of the safety committee can attend here or listen on a speakerphone.
Right.
And if somebody wants to hear it on the speakerphone for now until we have a different arrangement, yes, I guess we could let them on the speakerphone as well.
Is that required?
I don't know.
No, that isn't required.
I still think there's a lot of value in face-to-face meetings.
Yeah, I would rather meet face-to-face.
But if somebody disagrees with that.
But I do want to make, we're going to talk about this video thing here in a minute. And I want to make sure in the long run that we have greater access without having all these folks here.
Again, I think this might be a further discussion at the safety committee meeting, if need be, about how do we proceed going forward. But I think to carry on with the meeting on Thursday morning would be a good first step to make sure that we all stay informed and well educated about what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, it would be a question of can the city set up, maybe we already have conference call capabilities with multiple people, and you can give the dial in to the public. If they want to dial in, they're allowed to listen. But not obviously participate. Personally, I would prefer the face-to-face meeting, but given the number of meetings that we may want to have over the next few weeks, it may become more expeditious to do it via this new alternative.
So with that, I'm going to make a motion that we schedule a safety committee meeting for Thursday, March. I closed my calendar, sorry.
21.
March 21st at 8 a.m. here in the council chamber.
Second.
Actually, that's,
well,
that's
the 19th.
Oh, wrong date. March 19th.
Wait. Today. No.
Thursday, March 19th.
Thursday, March 19th.
At
8 a.m. here in the council chambers.
I'm looking at the wrong year.
That's
what a wonderful attorney.
Are you ahead of your time or behind?
Okay, so the motion is to schedule a safety committee meeting for Thursday, March 19th at 8 a.m. here in the council chambers.
I'll second.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Both chiefs, thank you for your willingness to attend. Mr. Aller, if you're on another conference call, understand?
It'll be tight.
All right. We have added agenda item 10C, which is to discuss streaming of city council meetings. This is currently in the Community Relations and Employee Relations Committee. We've been waiting for a possible consultant or supplier to get back to us, and he has not. As I told you, I watched my church services being, or I was told they were being streamed. They have been for a long time, but I never paid any attention to it because this time there was hardly anybody in the room and they kept talking or saying hi to people online. And it turns out my sister-in-law was one of those people online. It was a single camera in the back of the room. She said she could only see the front couple of rows of pews that were empty. It was just, whether, even though the pews were spread out, nobody sits in the front row. Everybody was pushed to the back.
Nobody sits in the front of church.
Actually, Sandy and John Husband were sit in the second row.
Sandy and John do, you're right, absolutely.
But I think I have his name. I've texted it to you two guys, Kevin and DeBill. Did you get it all right?
Yes.
We will make contact with him and see if we can't make some progress before the next council meeting.
Yeah, and I'd be very comfortable with a fixed camera and a Facebook broadcast, for that matter. Yeah, you know.
We can certainly do that at the next council meeting. We can get a iPhone out here and put it on a tripod and just Facebook live stream it for now if we can't get anything else done, if people are interested. I'm not sure that's a good long-term solution, and I'm not sure who's iPhone camera or iPad it'll be, but I bet you we can round one up.
Yeah. And I'd like some guidance from Leslie on our public meeting obligation, and if we stream that meeting, can we not invite, not allow public into this particular confined space? Just as a,
we have that challenge. The federal guideline is now not more than 10 people in the room. We have more than that here tonight. We have 15, I think, here tonight, or so. And that's why I asked staff to spread out. I think the policy that you're referring to might allow city council members not to be present in the chamber also. I think it's really going to be necessary for me or someone to sit here and call the meeting to order and try to run the meeting this way. That's what TMACOG is doing for Wednesday morning. But this is new ground.
Discuss this more at our safety committee meeting.
Good. We'll see if we can have some response from this possible consultant who lives in Sylvania, I see. Eaglewood, I think. Let me open it up again. Yes, Eaglewood. So good. Okay. Any further comments or questions?
No.
All right.
We just get an update on that on Thursday. We can decide.
Okay, Bill, plan on being here Thursday morning then. Let's try to keep it under 10, though. All right, any further committee reports at this time? Any committee referrals at this time?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller.
More than the previous topic, the public hearings that were set, I have a feeling that the latest, the latest rulings weren't in place prior to that. With that public hearing, the size, I don't know that people are going to come out of the woodwork for that public hearing, but anybody more than 50, there is an 8-week period where not intended to hold anything that would be your problem.
Which is in direct counterintuitiveness to have a public hearing.
Right.
We're going to have to research that one and figure out what to do. Public hearing, the point is to get the public to come.
I think for that one, I wouldn't see it largely attended, but you never know. Being the first, it could be.
We'll encourage him to attend the public hearing at the township.
Is there a reason to consider moving it back a bit?
No.
No, we can't. No.
You can dance.
This is the owner of the property is fully supportive of the issue. I don't think it's going to be an issue. All right. I think we'll move on to added agenda item 12, an update on the strongest towns. Ms. Stow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Given the number of challenges our community is facing, I'm happy to have some good news to share to brighten everyone's day a little bit. We are a finalist in the Strongest Town Contest, which that is a bracket-based competition designed to spotlight communities from around the world that are building enduring financial resilience at the local level and actively embodying Strong Towns' approach to economic growth and development. And what that can mean in some instances is that the city shows a lot of local business support, citizen involvement, productive land use, modes of transportation, lively events, and walkability, as many other things that it can mean. Some of the past winners have included Pensacola, Florida, and Traverse City, Michigan. I won't take too long because I know we're at the end of the night, but I thought you guys might be interested in the latest of where we stand with it. On Thursday, February 20th, I notified the city of the opportunity. I've been following Strong Towns for a while and knew that Sylvania could stand out in the contest. And Bill and Laura were able to, the next day, turn around and apply, which was good because it was due on Sunday. So between a Thursday to Sunday, we were able to apply. On March 5th, we were notified that the city was selected as a finalist. We were one of 16 nationwide to be selected. And as of last week, on Monday, March 9th, round one voting began, and that was based on the original application. And Sylvania won that with 55% of the vote. And then this week, starting today, round two voting has begun, and that's based on 5 photos and captions that illustrate the strength of our city. And Bill and Laura and I worked together to put that together. There's been a lot of quick turnover on this because voting goes from Monday to Thursday, and then we learn on either Thursday evening or Friday whether or not we're accepted. And then if voting starts again on Monday, it's a quick turnover. So we're trying to prepare ourselves ahead of time. There would be 2 more rounds if we continue to advance in this bracket system. It could include a podcast or a webcast, depending on if we continue to proceed. But if we were to win this, we would be named the Strongest Town 2020, and the president of that organization would come here, and there would be a chance that we would host the Strong Towns Conference next year.
So we made the Elite Eight.
We made the Elite Eight.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we need everybody's support to go online and vote for us. You can find it on your Facebook page. You can find it on the city's website, on the city's Facebook page. Where else?
I would just recommend going to the City of Sylvania's Facebook page, and the information's there.
We got it to be posted by several community organizations. Last week, Lindsay and Laura did. And Bill, and we're going to do that again. You're going to see it popping up on your Facebook feeds also.
I'd like to thank you, Lindsay, for identifying this opportunity and pushing it forward, and thanks to Bill and to Laura for their help in making this happen. It's very fun, and it would be fun if we could win it.
Yeah.
So certainly I voted, and I hope others will.
Thank you. I think we've got a good chance.
We let stuff the ballot box, or you can only vote once?
Only once.
Just ask them.
Once per round.
Once per round, yeah, I figured that part.
Okay. That's it for my update.
All right. That gives us to the end of our agenda. There are 3 informational items, which are pretty straightforward. Our February 2020 bank reconciliation statement and the Board of Architecture review minutes, which were fairly lengthy, and Planning Commission had no business last week. If there's no further items. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until 3 weeks from tonight on Monday, April the 6th, 2020 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.